Well, when the Spirit decides to work, He doesn't wait. I don't have to preach today. And if the Holy Spirit is speaking to you, just go. Just do it. Just let Him have you. If he's talking, don't deny Him. He wants to move here. I believe the Holy Spirit wants to move here. He wants to change us. And He may want to crush us and break us. But that is what we want. We want Him. Don't go another minute. If I'm speaking and He's moving and you need to come up here and give yourself, pour yourself out to Him, do it. Just do it. Just pretend I'm not here. I'll stop. We'll sing some more. We'll pray. You got to listen to the Lord. If He's talking, you've got to listen to Him. And I believe He's talking. I believe He's here. Don't let that pride get in your way. He'll step right between you and the Lord if you let Him. So, this is the verse I planned on beginning with in Romans chapter 7. Now we're released from the law, having died to that which held us captive, so that we serve in the new way of the Spirit and not in the old way of the written code. Now we serve in the new way, the way of the Spirit, not in the old way of the written code, of lists, trying to be so good, so obedient. Now we let the Spirit lead us and fill us and crush us and break us and empty ourselves before Him. And when we do that, we do bring new wine. We're completely new. Life is completely new. But we've got to be real, real honest with ourselves, and we haven't been. I don't just speak for us, I speak for the church in America. We have not looked in the mirror and been honest with who's looking back. Listen as I read Romans chapter 7. What shall we say then, that the law is sin? This is the New Testament. This is way New Testament after Jesus, and He's talking about the law. What do we say then, that the law is sin? By no means. Absolutely not. Absolutely not. If it had not been for the law, I would not have known sin. I would not have known what it is to covet. If the law hadn't said, you shall not covet. But sin, seizing an opportunity through the commandment, produced in me all kinds of covetousness. For apart from the law, sin lies dead. I was once alive apart from the law. But when the commandment came, sin came alive and I died. The very commandment that promised life proved to be death to me. For sin, seizing an opportunity through the commandment, deceived me, and through it killed me. So the law is holy, and the commandment is holy and righteous and good. Why is he talking about the law? We now serve in the new way of the Spirit, not the old way of the written code. And he goes back and he says something here that the church today and that you and I are probably not really doing, or we'd all be there. I would not have known sin, it says, if it wasn't for the law. I wouldn't have known what it is to covet if the law hadn't said you shouldn't covet. And if we really got into our Bible, if we really surrendered ourselves to God, we would know our sin. We would look in the mirror and there wouldn't be any question, none whatsoever. We would look at the law and we would look in the mirror and we would go, I am so sinful, Lord, crush me. That's what he says. If it hadn't been for the law, I wouldn't even known my sin. And I find that to be true. I find that to be true. People, and that's probably most Christians, you really don't spend a lot of time in the Bible. It's a fact. Matter of fact, we have churches turning us away from the Old Testament and the law. And so I find Christians that don't really spend a lot of time digging, and they go, I'm not that bad. I think I'm a pretty nice person. Oh no, humans, we're not basically bad, we're good. I rarely sin anymore. I'm a good person. And because apart from the law, I don't even know my sin. So if me and you, if we're going to be real honest before God and we're going to sing those songs with our heart, we're going to look at that and then we're going to look at ourselves and we're going to look in the mirror and be real honest and go, man, I see a sinner. I see a sinner. Crush me, Lord. Break me, Lord. Purge me, Lord. I have no hope. I am a sinner. And we don't. Matter of fact, our biggest churches in America say, let's just unhitch from that Old Testament. You don't need that. You can't understand that. We don't live in that. Get away from that. Let's just talk about no condemnation. No condemnation. I'm not going to condemn you. I'm not going to judge you. And Paul says, is the law then sin? Absolutely not. I wouldn't even know what sin is if it wasn't for the law. If you and I looked at this and then we looked in the mirror, we'd have no choice but to say, sinner, wow, look at my sin. As a matter of fact, he says this. It says in the law, you shall not covet, but sin, seizing an opportunity through the commandment, produced in me all kinds of covetousness. He didn't just say, hey, you covet. He produced all kinds of covetousness. All kinds of one. You know what Colossians 3:5 says? Colossians chapter 3, verse 5. says something like this: put to death what is earthly in you. Put to death what is earthly in you. Are we doing that? Are we really looking at ourselves? What is earthly? What is earthbound in me? What is earth-loving, earth-passionate, earth-oriented in me? Am I putting it to death? And then he names some things that you and I would never claim: sexual immorality, passions. And then he goes, covetousness, which is idolatry. Covetousness, which is idolatry. And Paul says, when I read the law, I didn't even know I had coveting. I didn't even know I coveted. But then when I read the Bible, it produced in me all kinds of coveting. So if we're going to translate that into Colossians, he's going to say, I didn't know I was an idolater, but when I read the Word of God, I found out I've got idols all over my life, all kinds of idols in my life called coveting. I've got idols everywhere in my life, Paul says. And I read the Word, and it showed me I have idols, and I have a lot of them everywhere in my life. I was once alive apart from the law. When I didn't know the Bible, when I didn't read the Bible, when I didn't spend time in the Bible, I was alive. Felt good. Life is good. Life is fine. I'm not a bad person. But when the commandment came, sin came alive. Sin came alive in me. And my idols were everywhere. And I died. And I died. Well, he's writing. No, he died like Eve died. If you eat that, you're going to die. Oh, no, you're not going to die. You're fine. No, he died like Eve died. He died in his soul. He died in his spirit. He died before God. He realized he was a dead sinner before God. When he looked at the Word of God and honestly looked at himself, and then he looked around his life and he said, I've got idols everywhere. Everywhere. And that's just one. That's just thou shalt not covet. I've got idols everywhere. I'm dead. I am dead. There is no way I can stand before a holy God the way I am. There's no way. I thought that in the Bible there was life, but it fooled me. It tricked me, it deceived me, and it killed me. So the law is holy, and the commandment is holy and righteous and good. And I thank God. I thank God for His Word to me that says, Terry, you covet, and you've got them everywhere. You've got idols everywhere, Terry. You're so tethered to this earth. Put it to death, Terry. Let my spirit live. This is a new way. This is new wine. If we were honest with ourselves, and if this was God's holy word, which it can't be, or we'd read it, we'd dig in it, we'd look at it, except that maybe it makes us feel bad because we see all the idols in our life, and I don't want to feel bad, so I don't. But if I was honest with God and myself, and I looked at this, I would see I'm dead, and I have idols. I would know without question, it's not even close, how dead I am in sin. Verse 13. Did that which is good, the law, then bring death to me? Is it the Bible's fault? By no means. No way, no way, no way. It was sin. It's my sin. Producing death in me through what is good, in order that sin might be shown to be sin. And through the commandment, my sin might become sinful beyond measure. Sinful beyond measure. Is the law, is the Bible bad? No. It's my sin. It's my sin. It's not this fault. It's not his fault. It's not the preacher's fault. It's my sin. And if I was real honest with this and with God and looking in the mirror, I would say, I'm sinful beyond measure. Beyond measure. Can't measure my sin. Well, I'm not a bad person. No, you're sinful absolutely beyond measure. Don't believe me? I'll give you a notebook when we're done. Like this, a paper notebook. I'll make it easy on you. You go back to 15 years old. Remember back when you were 15 years old? You start listing every sin you've ever done from the time you were 15 years old. No. Every thought. Because you know Jesus, he made it harder, right? Jesus says, if you think it, you've done it. If you looked at her with lustful thought, if you hate, you've murdered. I'm going to get you one of these, and I'm going to get you a pen. I'm going to get you a really nice one. I want you to go back to the time you're 15 years old, and I want you to start writing every time you physically sinned, every time you spoke, every time you thought something Jesus wouldn't think. Everyone. I want you to write everyone down. And then we're going to talk about being sinful beyond measure. I can't even measure it, Terry. I can't even write them down. I can't even think of all of them, Terry, because we are sinful beyond measure. I've forgotten more than I can remember. I forgot about things. My parents will tell me things I did. I can't remember them, but they'll never forget that. Yeah. I don't even understand the depths of my sin. That's how sinful I am and we are. And I don't want to face it. I don't want to face it. I don't want to read this. I don't want to face God with it. I don't want to walk out of here feeling crushed and broken and dead in my sin. I don't want to look at it, and so I'm not going to read my Bible, and I'm going to find a church that preaches happy thoughts, and I'm just not interested in going there. I'll tell you how bad it is. We know, verse 14, we know that the law is spiritual. But I am of the flesh. I'm a man of flesh and blood. I'm sold under sin. I'm sold like a slave under sin. I don't understand my own actions, for I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate. And if I don't really want to do it, I agree that the law is good. If I struggle with things, then I'm agreeing that's bad and the law is good. But I'm a slave. I'm a slave. I can't live the way I want to live. No how, no way. I am sold. I'm a slave. So now it's no longer I who do it, but it's sin that dwells in me. And I know that nothing good dwells in me. That is, in my flesh. I have a desire to do what's right, but not the ability to carry it out. That's how bad it is. I'm a sinner, full of idols in my life. That's just one. And it's so bad that I'm a slave. And there's nothing good that dwells in my flesh. I don't have the ability to carry out the righteousness that God is looking for. I don't have the ability to do it. Verse 21. I find it to be a law. This is a different law. I find it to be a law that when I want to do right, evil lies close at hand. Do you know what a law is? Do you know what that means? Do you know what a law is? Let me show you what a law is. What law? Gravity. If you want to know a law of mathematics, see Ted afterward. He's been watching some things on laws of mathematics, of science. They never move. They never change. 10 out of 10 times, that baby's going to drop. Every time. It's a law. It's a law of this planet. Gosh, why doesn't it go up? I find there's a law in me. I find there to be a law that when I want to do right, evil lies close at hand. That's how bad I am. I delight in the law of God in my inner being, but I see that in my members, in my flesh, there's another law. It's etched in stone, and it wages war against the law of my mind, and it makes me a captive to the law of sin that dwells in my members. It is a law that in my body, it craves sin, and it cannot ever keep the righteousness of God. It's a law. When I think about God and I think about, man, I really want to do better, evil is so close. And there's a war, it says. There's a war. It wages war in me against what I think about. I'm a captive to the law of sin that dwells in my members. Verse 24, this is as close to a plea of salvation. Wretched man that I am, amen and amen and amen. Wretched man that I am. Who will deliver me from this body of death? If we are honest with ourselves, that is our cry. We take every word of what was just read. We take every thought. We look honestly at ourselves and we go, wretched person that I am. Who will deliver me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then I myself serve the law of God with my mind, but with my flesh I serve the law of sin. Man, do I think a good game. Man, do I think a good life in Christ. Man, is my wishes and my intentions and my hopes right there with God? But if we are honest with ourselves, we have to fall on our knees and say, wretched man that I am. Wretched woman that I am. My sin is immeasurable. My idols are uncountable. Who will deliver me from this body of death? Jesus Christ will. Jesus Christ will. And there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. The law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ from the law of sin and death. There is therefore now no condemnation. Let me say that again. There is therefore now no condemnation. No condemnation. No condemnation. You're sinful beyond measure. Your idols are everywhere in your house and in your car and in your mind and in your heart. Our idols are everywhere in this church. Everywhere. I can't move. I can't please. I'm dead. I'm a slave. There's a war. I'm stuck. I'm trapped. With my mind, I think a good game for God. But man, let's just be honest and look at that mirror. Everything about who I see is about me, and it's about this life. I love my life. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. The law of the Spirit of life, the Holy Spirit, has set us free from the law of sin and death. What is the law of sin and death? It's right here in chapter 6, verse 23. The wages of sin is death. But the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. If you sin, you die. That's the law. That's the law. If you sin, you die. If you sin, you don't stand before a holy God ever. If you sin, you don't talk to a holy God unless you're begging for mercy. If you sin, you're dead every time. And you can't count them, remember? You can't count them. It's immeasurable. It's the law of sin and death. If you sin, you die. The law of the Spirit of life has set you free from that law. No more. No more. It's been paid for. It's been paid for. There's no condemnation. No condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. The law that says when you sin, you die, you're away from God, He hates you, He's going to throw you in a pit, it's gone. You never serve that law again. You never serve that law again. Ever, ever. That's not a law for you. The law has been broken and paid for by that cross. Verse 3. Romans 8, 3. For God has done what the law, weakened by my flesh, could not do by sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin. He paid for sin and He condemned sin in my flesh in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. God has done what you and I will never do, ever do, apart from the Holy Spirit. We will never live good enough. We will never keep the law good enough. We will never live right enough, ever. God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do. I can't. Jesus paid for sin, and He condemned the sin in my flesh. So I am now righteous before God, because my sin is completely paid for. I'm no longer under the law of if you sin, you die. The Spirit, the Holy Spirit, has come into me, and it is the Spirit of life. It gives us life. There is therefore now no condemnation. You will never, ever, ever be condemned before God again for all eternity in Christ you'll never be condemned. That's pretty good news. That's pretty good news. And here's how we know who you are. Those who live according to the flesh, if you don't have the Spirit, you set your mind on things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Holy Spirit set their minds on things of the Holy Spirit. Verse 5. It's what we think about. Set the mind on the flesh is death, but set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. The mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. Please understand that. If you don't have the Holy Spirit, you cannot please God. You're hostile to God. Absolutely. You cannot submit to God's law. You're absolutely lost, captive in your sin, absolutely chained, a slave to your body, to things of this earth, to loves of this earth. You are absolutely chained to your idols of this earth, and you're full of them, and your sin is beyond measure. You cannot please God unless you have the Holy Spirit. And if you do, your mind is set on things of the Spirit. You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If in fact, and that's the big question, if in fact the Spirit of God dwells in you, anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to Him. But if Christ is in you, although this body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. Listen to this. If the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in us, in you, He who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. He will give life. He'll give you life inside. He'll give you life with Him. He'll set you free from the law of sin and death. And He will give life to my mortal body that cries out for its idols, that cries out for its way, its pride, its wants, its loves, its earthly pleasures and things. He will give life to this body. And I can present these hands and these feet and these eyes and this mouth. I can present them to Him as instruments of righteousness. Now, use me, God. Take this filthy, dirty body and infuse me with life. And use me. I am your slave of righteousness. And then there is no condemnation. None. Ever again. None. Jesus paid it all. Never in that law of sin and death again. We've just got to come to this point. We have got to come to this place. This church, we have got to let ourselves be crushed to be new wine. We've got to. There is no other option. There's no plan B. I'm sinful beyond measure. There's nothing in my flesh that I can do? None. I can't please God. Matter of fact, I'm hostile to God. Well, I don't think hateful thoughts toward God. You cannot please God. And whether you know it or not, your flesh is acting on its own self in hostility. It's against God. It's hostile to God. You can't. And until we come to that place on our knees, looking at that person in the mirror and going, my God, I'm sinful beyond measure. Even when I think about it and I want to try and do right, I'll walk right out that door and say and do what I really didn't want to do. And until we get to that point and cry out, wretched man that I am, full of idols everywhere in my life, Spirit will not come in. The Holy Spirit will not enter in. And we are fooling ourselves. We're fooling ourselves to thinking we are something we're not. And we are enemies of God. We're enemies of God. I'd love for our elders and servers to come and take communion right now. Look, I'm asking you. Don't do this. Don't do this. If you haven't bared your soul, throwed yourself on your face, said, God, I'm a filthy sinner. I am sinful beyond measure. I can't help myself. Oh, wretched. If you haven't gone to that place, don't do this. You're fooling yourself. You're faking it. Don't do this. Please, let's just be real. Let's just be real from this moment on. Don't do this. This doesn't get you anywhere. This doesn't save you. It doesn't help you. It fools you. Don't do this. But if you're ready to die to yourself today, because you've done it yesterday, or you did it 10 years ago or 20 years ago, you threw yourself in the arms of Jesus and said, help me, I'm a sinking man. If you've done it, then you take this with all the joy in the world. You take this, your sin is paid for. Every drop of your sin is paid for. The law of sin and death is not yours no more. The chain's been cut. You'll stand before Him with joy, with salvation, with love. No matter what you do, the law of sin and death is away from you. It's not yours. There's never going to be any condemnation to you ever again. You eat this bread with the joy that you've never had in your life. You eat this like you've never eaten a piece of cracker before in your life. Because this paid for it all. This paid for it. Dear Lord. Lord, I'm praying, will Your Spirit move right now? Will Your Spirit speak now? Lord, will Your Spirit be alive in us now, Lord? Each person here, Lord, we need to communicate with You now. Lord, Your Spirit's been here working already. Your Word is now there. It's the truth. It's the truth. It's what You've said. Speak, Lord. Be here. Be here. Come in, please come in. Change us. Change us, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Mm-hmm. horrible thing I've done to stand before you and tell you we are wicked. We are hopeless. We are sinful beyond measure. What a horrible thing I've said. But only coming to there can we know the joy of there is therefore now no condemnation. Mark has a couple scriptures here from Proverbs 28. Proverbs 28, 2, 4, 5, and 7 describe perfectly the United States person, churchgoer. When a land transgresses, it has many rulers. Don't we have rulers in our land? But with a man of understanding and knowledge, its stability will long continue. If you're a United States churchgoer, you have many rulers and thoughts and leaders of your philosophy and who you are. But with one man, Jesus Christ, a man of understanding, that land's stability will long continue. Those who forsake the law praise the wicked, and don't we in this country praise the wicked? But those who keep the law, we strive against them. Which one are you, the United States or us? Do you strive against the wicked? Evil men don't understand justice, but those who seek the Lord understand it completely. Our understanding comes only from the Lord. If one turns away his ear from hearing the law, you won't read it. You won't look at it. You're tired of listening to Terry tell you. You're sinful beyond measure. If you turn your ear away from hearing the law, even his prayer is an abomination. Your prayer is an abomination because you won't look the law square in the face and say what God says about us. And then we pray. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Thy kingdom come. It's an abomination. Oh, Father, bless our food. It's an abomination. Father, heal my friend. It's an abomination. One turns his ear away from hearing the law. Whoever conceals his transgressions will not prosper, not spiritually. But he who confesses and forsakes them will obtain mercy. There's no better news than that. Whoever confesses and forsakes your sin will obtain mercy. Mercy. There is therefore now no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. It's time to stop playing games. It's time to stop playing church. Stop fooling yourself. Everybody sees us. Everybody looks at my life and knows what it's about. Everybody looks at your life and we know. Everybody knows. We're open books. Stop. Stop playing games with God. Confess. Confess. And find mercy. He paid for it. Seated. Let's take it. Lord, there are those here in this building who are yours. and they understand completely what I'm reading to them from your word. They understand completely what I'm saying from your word. Lord, our hearts are broken for where our churches are at, where friends and loved ones are at playing games with you. But Lord, we don't hold the power, you do. I can't change a life, only you can. I can't give life. I can't create new life. I can't give life to a mortal, dead, sinful body. Only you can. Lord, I'm praying in this building right here. That's all we can take care of is this building. Lord, would your spirit explode in hearts and minds right now? Lord, please, please, please be here. Please speak to these friends, families and loved ones. Crush us. Crush us if that's what it takes. Crush us until we know you. Jesus was broken for us. And we play games with him. Lord, crush us. In Jesus' name. Human pride and human will is pretty strong, isn't it? Some of you feel it right now pulling hard at you. Do not surrender to what he is saying. Do not buy it. Do not give in. Your pride, you can feel it pulling. You can feel that war in you right now. You can feel your master telling you, you do not have idols all over your life. Your homes and cars and things are not your idols. Do not listen to them. You can feel that war. Listen to a prayer Daniel prayed in captivity. Israel went so far, God crushed them. And Daniel was in a good place here in Babylon. Daniel was in a good, he had risen up high into the government. Daniel lived a good life in captivity here. Isn't this what we want? Isn't this what we want right here? Listen, while I was speaking and praying, confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel, and presenting my plea before the Lord my God for the holy hill of my God. While I was speaking in prayer, the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the first, he came to me in swift flight at the time of the evening sacrifice. He made me understand, speaking with me and saying, O Daniel, I have now come out to give you insight and understanding. At the beginning of your pleas, listen, at the beginning of your pleas for mercy, a word went out, and I have come to tell it to you. For you are greatly loved. While he was presenting his plea, confessing his sin, pouring himself out for the sin of his people, and he didn't have to. Daniel was in a good place. He was confessing sin at the evening sacrifice for sin. And Gabriel said, hey, when you started to speak, they sent me out to give you insight and understanding. A word of mercy. I was sent to bring you mercy, to make you understand, because you are greatly loved. Is it so bad? Is it really so bad when this guy gets up here and starts ranting with this thing and saying, look, we're sinful beyond measure. We stink. We're terrible. We're full of idols. Throw yourself on the mercy of God. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who do. You are set free from your slave master. He loves to give you mercy. He loves you. He'll give you understanding. Is that a bad thing? Why is it so bad? That's our God. The beginning of your plea for mercy, a word went out, for you are greatly loved. At the beginning of your plea for mercy, God did what we couldn't do when He sent Jesus to die on the cross for our sins. And now we just are left to plead for mercy on the blood of His cross. Lord, Your mercy is in these cups. And I know it's just remembrance of You. It's grape juice. But Lord, that grape juice holds mercy. That grape juice represents our heart being spilled all over for You, as Your blood was spilled all over for us. It's mercy. Jesus said, You're looking for people who will worship You in spirit and in truth, and our spirit now worships You in this cup of mercy. Lord, may Your Spirit bear witness with our spirit that we are children of Yours, and may You move on those who aren't here today. In Jesus' name, amen. Pleasure to watch God totally change lives around us. It's going on pretty regularly in our church, and lives and people are being changed of all kinds. And I've never once seen a person pour themselves out to Jesus Christ and Him reject them or turn them away. He says that He won't do that. So you're 100% guaranteed if you plead for mercy If you confess yourself as sinful beyond measure, unable to help yourself, you're 100% guaranteed mercy and no condemnation. It's that sort of a thing. Is there something wrong with that? Is there something wrong with having lives totally changed by a loving, saving, merciful God? Is that bad? Man, let's do it. Let's not forsake one more day of not looking in the mirror and confessing our sin and receiving the mercy. If you can't confess your sin, you're lost. If you can't go to Him with this, you're lost. And you're away from Him. Don't fool yourself. One more day, you don't have God. It's just the way it is. He didn't do this for nothing. He didn't go through this for nothing. Because I'm a nice person. I promise you, He didn't. Churches in America, please be seated. Churches in America, we're in a bad way. The path churches in America are taking today is taking us away from God because it's taking us away from sin. It's telling us, don't confess your sin. God loves you. He's okay with you. Come just as you are and stay just as you are. It's quite all right. You're better than that person. You're nicer than that person. And the churches today in our country are taking us totally away from God. You need to know that. This whole movement of just fun and play, and it's all good and it's all okay, God doesn't care, it's taking us totally away from God. According, if you have a belief based on His Word, which we do, churches are taking us completely away from God. Churches don't want to confess. Pastors don't want to preach sin. I don't want to make you feel bad. I want your money. I want your attendance. I want your skills. I want your musical playing ability. I want your administrative skills. I want to write books. I want to make movies. And I need a whole lot of people here to send money to do that. So I don't want you to feel bad walking out of here. Now, that's not me. The path to mercy is brokenness. Learn your sin. Study the Bible and learn your sin. Feel bad about it. Repent of it. Call it sin. Go home today and confess on your knees your idols that are everywhere in your house. Maybe they're things, maybe they're people. And I promise you, when you're done, your heart will be so full of joy and mercy and love and compassion, and you will be a new person. So then, brothers, we are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh, but all who are led by the Spirit are sons of God. You will move from being a person of the flesh to a son of God, a precious, loved daughter and son of God. And whatever happens to this old body of mine, I'm getting a new one anyway. Here. I present my body to you, a slave of the living God, slave of your righteousness. Do what you want. Do what you want. Lord, I pray. I pray your Spirit upon us, the Spirit of life, to set this church free from the law of sin and death. Every person here, Lord, we present our hands to you. We are your slaves. Work, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.